Mr. Mystery. So do you.
Somebody knows you out there.
Hi, everybody. My name's Eric. I'm an addict. I saw everybody up here getting bit up. That's the recorder, I think. I saw everybody getting bit up by the bugs, and then I saw the spider when the woman was up here a minute ago, and I thought, it's probably better if I don't know what's going on. I am not a retreat guy. I am a hotel guy, but I am honored to be here at your retreat, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to come share with you guys tonight. I want to thank Edgar and Desiree and Mike for putting this on and asking me to be a part of it. When Edgar and Desiree called me a while back, they said something to the net effect that we want you to be a kickoff speaker and we want you to set the tone for the retreat. And, you know, I take these commitments pretty seriously. And so I hope that I'm able to do that for you guys tonight. I don't particularly enjoy the camping stuff, but I do appreciate nature and I do appreciate the spiritual side of being in touch with the beauty in the world around me, because for a long time that wasn't something I was capable of seeing. I walked around the planet for several decades convinced that the world was a pretty fucked up place to be, and that was about the extent of my perception, my ability to perceive anything. I was tuned into the negative frequencies of life, and I really couldn't see much past that. You know, somebody once said that an optimist is I'm going to screw this up. An optimist is somebody who thinks this is the best possible of all worlds, and a pessimist is somebody who fears that that is the truth. And I think that I definitely qualify more as a pessimist. And all I can tell you guys about my drug using career is that it went on for much longer than it needed to. And I didn't ever aspire to or endeavor to become somebody who would be a kickoff speaker at a spiritual retreat. But I got to tell you that the spiritual side of my life is where the juice is for me today. It is more the reality than the rest of my life when I remember that that's the truth. I'm the type of guy who seeks truth today. And you know, in preparing to come up here, I just kind of like, I listened to a couple of my favorite speakers, man, and I read some stuff from the basic text. And I read some. I actually have a book that I keep. This is going to sound like egomaniacal cult leader shit, right? But so when I got here, you guys said you have a right to the God of your understanding. Coincidentally, I want to thank my higher power. He gave me a water before the meeting. He's sitting right over there in the blue tie dye. They said that you have a right to the God of your understanding, and I took that seriously, because where I fall off with every other avenue I've pursued is in one of two places, and those two places typically look like this. It's either exclusionary when we get to a point where they say, if you don't believe what I believe, well, then you can't go where I'm going. That's a big turnoff for me. Or they lay this piece on you where it's like, you know, if you don't do things and act in a proper and certain way, then you're just not a good person. And by the way, you're probably not going to go where I'm going. So I frown upon guilt laden types of spirituality. I frown upon exclusionary forms of spirituality. For me, being spiritual is more about what I don't know than what I do know. And I've often said that if I could change one word in the basic text, you know, it would be the term understanding, the misunderstanding, because I don't understand and I'm perfectly comfortable there. And I'm grateful that you guys said I don't have to belong, and that I can follow whatever path suits me. Because if you'd have said anything else, I'd probably be dead, quite honestly. And so, you know, in trying to determine how I got from a guy who couldn't leave himself alone long enough to have a clear thought to a guy who spends a certain amount of his free time pursuing truths of a spiritual nature and waxing philosophical on occasion about it has to include a discussion of the 12 steps. And you know, I spent some time reading today, and this is the egomaniacal part, out of a book that I wrote. And I wrote it, but it's not my own thoughts. Some of them are. But mostly it's stuff that I took from other places, other things I read, stuff I heard at a meeting. There's a lot of stuff I heard at a meeting in this book. But what this book is for me is it's that freedom that you offered me to form my own beliefs. Because, like another friend of mine says, when I got here, I didn't believe in God and I was mad at him. So that was as good as I had it when I got in the door. And now I have this book that's, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 pages deep, and it's just all handwritten pencil stuff, the stuff that I believe. And I look through it from time to time, and the cool thing about it is I wrote it in pencil. So, like, if I don't believe something any longer, I just fucking erased it. You know what I mean? Seriously. And some people say that that's like playing God or whatever, and I don't tend to have too many spiritual conversations with those people. I take that seriously. This is about the rights of my evolution as a spiritual creature, and it began with just being a creature, man. That's all I was capable of. It's funny because, you know, my buddy was just putting a grill together and we dropped four of the washers in the grass. And it took us all 3 seconds to find them in the pitch black in the grass. Like, crackhead skills are transferable, you know? And that's what I was, man. I was a creature. He was telling a story about walking around his house with a machete because when they were coming through the door, he was taking one of them out. And I can relate 100%. I remember walking into this woman's house and she had all the blinds taped around the edges of the window still, and there wasn't like a stitch of light that could get into her kitchen. And I was like, she is a kindred spirit. I understand this woman. I must make a relationship with her. And to go from living that way to living the way I do today is a journey that I don't even know that I can fully articulate. I mean, you guys know. If you're here tonight sitting around this campfire listening to me, you guys are hardcore. You guys are serious about this recovery business. This is like walking the walk stuff, being out here in the dark right now. This isn't just, you know, yeah, went to a meeting, everything's good, you know. So one of the guys over here had a tent pole accident earlier, is that correct? Yeah. Emergency room visit, he's back! Like, that's hardcore. Also why I'm not a camper, but much respect for that. The reality of the situation for me is that, like Mike was reading at the beginning, he said something about after a setback or several setbacks, and I'm a setback guy. I got a half a dozen clean dates that started in 1999 and culminated in 2005. And I'm pretty satisfied with the clean date I have right now. I'm not interested in trying out a new one anytime soon. But for a while, that wasn't the case. And I want to thank the people from this fellowship that didn't give up on me. I want to thank the people from this fellowship that would call me on the phone and say things to me like, you're all fucked up, aren't you, bro? Well, yeah, I'm pretty fucked up. And then instead of shaming me or telling me that I needed to pray or get to a meeting, they just said, I got your back. And it's those types of moments. That was the spiritual moment for me that touched my heart when I was in the grips of an ice storm, that I was feeling no emotion. I was spiritually dead, and someone was able to reach out to me spirit to spirit and make a connection, and I knew it was okay to come back here. I knew you guys weren't gonna shun me. You know what I mean? And it's because of people like that and instances like that that I was able to come back. I read somewhere that spirituality always involves uplifting other people. And we've got a little saying around here that is one of the many fine paradoxes that we have to subscribe to be successful at this thing called recovery. And it's simply that we have to give it away in order to keep it. That's why I'm up here probably surrounded by fucking bugs and spiders right now. I'm pretty sure I had a Bigfoot sighting on the way in here, guys. And I definitely heard some banjo music. But I'm up here because, like, I believe in this shit. I want to be hardcore, too, with you guys. You know what I mean? I want to be one of the people that walks this thing and doesn't just talk about how great it is to be a recovering addict. The first step for me was about honesty and surrender. And I don't think you can have a spiritual existence without beginning with honesty. And the honesty for me was that my life was destroyed and I had no control over what I was doing. And I needed a lot of help. And I truly believe that the single greatest asset we can possess isn't being a great speaker. It's not being a great sponsor. It's not making the best NA coffee. It's not serving on the convention committee or the board of directors. The single greatest asset that we can possess is the ability to ask for help. And that's something that is still very difficult for me to do. But it's something that I've become more and more comfortable with the longer that I stay around here. Surrender is the other key principle for me in the first step. And, you know, I got all twisted up with surrender because I'm a man and I was raised as a man. Stiff upper lip, don't you cry, I'll give you something to cry about. What else do they teach us as little boys, right? Wipe it off, rub it off, put some dirt in it, take a lap, all that shit, right? And I used to get real fouled up with the idea of giving up. I'm a never say die guy. And the reality of the situation is surrender isn't giving up. Surrender is just doing what I don't want to do. You know what I mean? I didn't just stop using drugs. I stopped using drugs and started practicing a program of recovery. And any time I have something in my life that comes up today that I have to surrender to, I got to remember that it's not just about the stopping process. It's about doing something different in place of. And that's as simple a spiritual definition for surrender as I can come up with. But most important, it's very practical for me. It has tangibility. It's applicable in my life. That's the other thing where I always fell down was when you guys would, you know, teach me about these spiritual principles, and I would go through the steps, and I had what you might call an understanding. Like, I like to think I'm a relatively intelligent guy. I used to be pretty intelligent, and I'm not bragging because I ain't anymore. But you know, a lot of those brain cells jumped ship a long time ago. But I can understand stuff. I can grasp a concept, and I understand that, you know, spirituality is about stuff that's not material. It's about stuff that's not tangible, and I would lose focus between the understanding and the application. That's how you end up with multiple clean dates, is you forget that there's an application component to this stuff, and I certainly was of that ilk. And the first step, I'm fucked up. That's as honest as I can be. I need to do something different, but my life was a train wreck. And I, like I said, I didn't believe in nothing, man. I really didn't. I couldn't believe that there was any benevolent force at work in the universe because I was so in touch with the negative forces at work in the universe that I really couldn't fathom how something benevolent could exist and allow the shit that goes on to go on. You understand? So I kind of backed into this understanding of a higher power from the negative side of things. And really what happened was one day it just dawned on me that if everything I saw negatively were true, and that was the only thing that was going on around here, Well, what's keeping us all from just killing each other in the street then? There's got to be something else. And that's how I came to my first understanding of a power greater than myself, was the idea, you know, that my mind opened enough for the idea that there was something good still left in the world, and maybe it could help me too. And then I started to see it working for you guys. I would go to meetings and you guys would be like sitting up straight and, you know, groomed and like completing sentences and shit. And I hate that. I hated that, you know. When I first got here, I didn't want what you had. I had no idea what you had. It was very suspicious to me. You know, I just knew I didn't want what I had. But I kept coming back because you guys offered me that. You offered me that. And I used to think that was like, you know, some type of sadistic, clever way to say, you're a fucking idiot, Eric, you know, like, I'll keep coming back. And but today I'm grateful for the people who told me that over and over and over and over again. And three, I just made a decision to go with that force, man. Three was a dance with who brung you step. And what I mean when I say that is, you know, I sacrificed clean dates after I had just enough experience of being clean to realize that there was really something going on in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. There was really something happening in your lives. There was something going on more to meet the eye, that more than was meeting the eye around here. I didn't know to call it spiritual at that point. I just knew that it was attractive to me, and I felt good, and I started to feel good about myself. And quite frankly, I think I just got scared. I just couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle, like, you know, you're a piece of shit, dude. You're a criminal. You're a thief. You're a junkie. You're a crackhead. You're a disgrace. You're a shame. You're a disappointment. Very comfortable with all those things. Don't tell me I'm a good guy. Don't tell me you're proud of me. Don't tell me I'm a decent human being. Because that brings up a lot of fear in me. Because, like, there might be some responsibility associated with that. And I'm not so sure I want to sign on for all that. So I would cash in a clean date, you know, just after I got a little taste of what it felt like to love and be loved. Just after I got a little taste of what it felt like to be truly free from some self-obsession and the bondage itself. And I got to tell you that for those of you who haven't relapsed, God bless you. It's hell on earth. It's walking, misery, daytime, death. Ritualistic self-suicide. Because, I mean, your theme here is we found a way out, right? That's the theme of the event that we're standing at, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, next year my suggestion is share your wood. I think that's what the theme should be next year. I heard that earlier. I like that. Just throwing it out there. Think about it. But you guys, we found a way out, right? And so before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't know there was a way out. I was running around in a lot of pain, but I was blissfully ignorant of the fact that people who had been to the dark ends of themselves that I had been living in had found a way out. Now, after I came here and realized that you guys were the real deal, and despite the fact that I didn't trust any of you very much, that you guys were talking and sharing from the heart, and you guys had been to the same desperate ends of yourself that I had been to, and you had found a way out. So now I know there's a way out. I'm just choosing not to be there. That's hell on earth to me. The thing that ultimately gave me the desperation level that I needed to work the Narcotics Anonymous program was my spirit. I'm convinced of that. And you know, I read somewhere else that I'm a quote guy, and one of the quotes was, if the outside doesn't match the inside, if the outside of a living entity, a sentient being, doesn't match the inside, then it becomes a prison. And I really could vibe with that, because my outside didn't match my inside. My inside was, I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be free. I wanted to be the person who I really am underneath all the masks and bullshit and personalities and phony faces that I put on to the world at large, right? And the pain got great enough. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm struggling to articulate. I got so much on my heart tonight. If I really was the piece of shit, crackhead, dope fiend, thief, all the stuff I already mentioned, if I really was that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be out being that thing. You understand? And if you were really all those things that people said about you and you said about yourself, I'm looking at, I'm standing in the woods by myself. Right? It's because we're not really that thing, that creature that we become, that the pain eventually gets great enough that we have to change. We have to evolve or die. Right? And Narcotics Anonymous gave me a roadmap to evolution. And in the third step, I said, I'm going that way. I'm finally deciding that this is the way I want my life to go, and I'm going to stick with this thing. I have no idea where it goes. I have no idea what these people are about or how they got the joy that they have in their hearts and on their faces, but I'm going with these fucking people right here. I know what's down the end of Walnut Street. You know what I mean? I know what's down the end of wherever, pick it, Charles and Kirkpatrick, you give it a name, right? I know what's there. I don't know what's here, but this has got to be the way to go. In 4 and 5, I take a good look at myself. I take a good look at who I am, right? Again, I got to examine who am I really? What's the essence of me? And I got to look at all the dirt, all the stuff that's piled on top of that being, that spirit. And I got to say, look, this is all my shit. This is everything that's covering me up. This is what I consist of. And in doing that, I start to gain a little bit of spiritual freedom. I start to gain a little bit of distance between what I think and what I really am. When I got here, I thought every thought was me. That's maddening. That's like schizophrenic stuff, right? Every thought that pops into my head, I would identify with and think was me. And my thoughts were never good. They were always negative. They were always self-critical. They were always the glass is half empty. And today, I've got a little bit of space there where I can actually see the thoughts. You know, another guy I like to listen to talks about watching the thinker. And it took me a long time to realize that my brain is just like any other organ in my body. My heart, it's pumping blood right now. I'm not consciously aware of every beat my heart's taking. I'm not consciously aware of every breath I'm drawing in right now. But they're just doing their thing. My liver's doing whatever livers do, right? And my brain's doing what brains do. It's just spitting thought after thought after thought, you know? I have some separation there. The spiritual side of me is the side of me that's not caught up in the thought. It's not the ego. The ego is where my fear lives. The ego is where all my worst nightmares could come true. My true essence, who I really am as a human being, as a soul, isn't that part of me. And in 4 and 5 is where I began to recognize that. 6 and 7, I got to get deeper involved with a higher power. I got to go back to the Dance with Who Brung You piece, and I got to say, listen, did some investigation here, God. And I'm saying God because it's easy to call it God, whatever. You know, to me, it's very formless. Universe. Give it a name. I say God because it's 3 letters and I'm lazy. Okay? I need some help here because I'll remove the wrong stuff. I'm enjoying this particular defect over here. You can have these 3, right? That's not the deal. You know, the deal is I got to be willing to let go of them all. And I stand here before you with every defect that I came in here with. The only difference is, on any given day, I have some relief from them. And it depends on my spiritual condition. And it depends on, you know, how many meetings I've been to. It depends on how many people I'm reaching out to help in my life. It depends on, did I get my ass out of bed to meditate this morning? Or did I just rush headlong into the day because I was too busy to spend that time quiet in my mind and slowing my body down? I got to tell you, man, and I don't want to jump ahead to 11 just yet. We're working our way there. But when I don't do that, there's a definite difference with how I live my life and how I feel about myself. I got an alarm. Look, I just got done telling you guys I don't like guilt and shame, right? But I'm going to share this, and you're going to say he's fucking crazy. My alarm says, it goes off, and it says, if you don't want to hate yourself, you better get out of bed and do something about it. And that's what makes me get up and meditate in the morning, because I know if I don't spend that time, today is going to be questionable. You know what I mean? I'm living too much in ego and not enough in spirit. Ego's where all my defects live. Spirit's where the God of my misunderstanding removes them. And I'm humbled by its presence in my life. And I don't just say a prayer, God, please remove these defects and I'm done working seven. My job, the footwork for me, is I got to gravitate to the opposing principle. For all my defects, there's an opposing principle. None of them occur in a vacuum. They're all situational. They travel in packs like wild dogs, and they all can be remedied by principle. So I got to gravitate towards the principle. That's the footwork I do. God, please help me out with this stuff. But in the meantime, I'm going to try to be more generous and less greedy. I'm going to try to be more appropriate and less lustful. I'm going to try to be more content and less lustful. Whatever speaks to you is what works. At least that's what I was taught. In steps 8 and 9, I hook it back up with you. You know, I take a good look at all the damage I've done in my life. And I make a list. I categorize it. I catalog it, you know. I found out in the 8th step I'm not the boogeyman that I thought I was. I'm not the Tasmanian devil that I thought I was. I did some shit. I did my fair share. But I'm not like this irredeemable, hopeless, incorrigible, you know, doomed person walking around the face of the earth. That can't be redeemed. There's redemption available for a guy like me. And in 9, I try to make it right. And it's not about, hey Ted, sorry I ripped you off. But I'm doing this spiritual thing now. You should really check it out. I'm really the spiritual guy. And so, boy, I've changed a lot. It's no, Ted, here's your money. Very sorry. Back in the house. Right. That's it. It's not an ego inflating thing. It's very simply making things right that should have been made right a long time ago. 10 forces me into the spiritual realm. And what I mean by that is it forces me to live the only place we actually do. I spend so much time living in tomorrow and yesterday, man. It's exhausting. And you know, a speaker I like to listen to talks about just getting between those, man. Just get in between those. And what he means when he says that is, if I'm in touch with the moment, then I am in touch with the spiritual. If I'm in touch with the moment, I'm in touch with the reality and those eternal essential truths that I look for. They don't happen anywhere but right here. I don't experience any love anywhere but right here. I don't experience any dignity as a man anywhere but right here. I don't experience the energy that we share in relationships anywhere but right here, right now. And the cool thing about right here, right now is there's nothing wrong here. You know what I mean? There's no problem here. There's no issue. There's no damage to control. When I stop and take a look at the moment that's right in front of me, very rarely is there an immediate threat to my life. Very rarely do I not have enough air to breathe or water to drink or food to eat, right? And I lose sight of the moment so easily. And I live in the shame and guilt of the past sometimes. Or I live in the fear of the future. And it's a mechanism of the disease. The disease is a thief. And it still will take from me if I let it. And if I don't live in the moment as often as I possibly can remember to do so, it's stealing from me. And so 10 forces me into the spiritual battle. A guy who used to sponsor me used to talk about spiritual warfare. I don't really get down with that philosophy anymore, but I understand that it's very important that I can hang a face on this thing we call the disease of addiction. Because if I can't identify when I'm under attack, then how am I going to defend myself? How am I going to know to ask for help? Right? And one of the favorite tools of my disease is confusion, and pulling me out of the right here, right now. Pulling me into fear. Pulling me into ego. And pulling me out of spirit. I'm safe in spirit, man. If I could dwell in spirit all the time, I would love to do so. But I'm a real person in the real world, and it's not always possible for a guy like me. I spend most of my time somewhere else. But that brings me to the 11th step. And the 11th step was big for me because of meditation. And I got all into it, man. I went to this temple on a hill somewhere, and they taught me how to sit and breathe and all this stuff, man. And, you know, and again, I wasn't really into all that, but they gave me some formal instruction and something I had no real experience with. And so it's been helpful from that aspect. And really, meditation for me is all about returning to right here, right now, returning to the center. I used to sit and I used to think, I'm terrible at this, because I'd be like, okay, let me just count 10 breaths, relax, 10 breaths, 10 breaths, relax, relax, 10 breaths. And I would go, one, did you see that girl's ass on the bus today? Oh, geez. One, back to one, back to one, back to one. Oh, shit, I totally forgot to make that phone call work today. And I would think I was horrible. My mind would just beat me the whole time. You suck at this, Derek. This is no good for you. You clearly can't meditate. And what I didn't realize was, it's not how many times I go out here. It's how many times I come back to here. It's how many times I come back to the center. It's how many times I come back to right here, right now. And with practice, I stay there for a little bit of time. I stay there for just a little bit of time. And instead of being a human doing, I can be a human being. And I can experience some real bona fide serenity. And some real bona fide self-acceptance. And I got to tell you guys, that's all I was looking for the whole fucking time I was putting chemicals in me. The great irony of this thing called recovery for me is that the thing I ran crazy all over the country, putting as much shit in my body as I could get my hands on day in and day out, the thing that I wanted is right here. It's right here in this moment. And all I needed to do was have you guys teach me how to slow down enough to savor it. It's mind-blowing. That's the spiritual awakening for me. That's my spiritual awakening. That's what it looks like. I don't know what yours looks like. Some of you guys got it in a blinding flash. Sometimes I'm jealous of that. Sometimes I feel like I was better equipped to get it slowly, over time, step by step, struggle by struggle, meeting by meeting, day by day, because I value it today. I worked hard for this thing, and I don't want to let it go. I don't want to sacrifice it. I don't want to end up cashing in another clean day. And that brings me to the 12th step. You guys say, hey, man, you got it. You got the hit. You better go find somebody to give it to. And I buy that. It's why I got in the car to come up here tonight. It's why I do a lot of what I do in my life today. I stopped working jobs that didn't mean anything to me. And I was fortunate enough to be able to do so. You understand? I used to be a human ATM machine for other people. I was in sales. And I got to a place where I didn't feel good about anything I could sell. And something said, well, dude, if you could package up recovery and sell it, that's something you could get behind all day long. And I'm not sure I've found a way to do that yet, but I know that I'm on the front lines of this battle, and I'm well positioned to help some people out of the trenches from time to time. And I'm blessed. It's truly a blessing in my life to be able to do that professionally, because it doesn't feel like work to me. You understand? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't get paid well for it, so it's not like you know. And I don't have any illusions between the difference between professional 12-step and 12-step. Like, my job is not my program. You understand what I'm saying to you? Just because I have a job that allows me to be in the trenches with addicts day in and day out. I'm surrounded by criminals and drug addicts every day. I'm right at home. You know what I mean? I love it. I love what I do. I don't know how much of an impact it has at the end of the day, but I know I'm in the fight, man. I got skin in the fucking game. You know what I'm saying? And that gets me off. I'm very passionate about this. And I couldn't be more grateful for that. I sponsor too many guys. I sponsor too many. But I can't say no, man. I try to, but I just can't. And I guess if it's not working for them, they'll find somebody else that has more time. But my guys are doing good. I'm grateful to be a part of this chain that leads from whatever the source of all this spirituality is to the gutter. I'm just a little link in that chain, man, and I'm grateful to be that today. So while you guys are up here in the woods with the big feet and the bugs, make sure you take some time to enjoy the beauty that's surrounding you. Make sure you take some time to enjoy, I mean, nature is very spiritual to me. My old sponsor used to say, if you want to learn about the spiritual realm, look to nature. And he was real good at metaphors. I don't remember any of them. But I know that he used to trip me out, you know, and I know that I can be awed by nature, I can be humbled by nature, and I can find that serenity when I slow down enough to appreciate it. I feel like I'm running out of things to say. We've gone through the 12 steps, and that is definitely the mechanism by which I have arrived at anything that resembles having a spiritual side to my life. I'm grateful for the journey. I'm grateful that it continues. I'm grateful that you guys helped me find a way out. And I'm grateful to have been asked to speak up here tonight. Thank you.